talks about Father Time and King Death. Father Time met pale King Death sitting by a tomb. "Hello, old friend. I guess you're here to seal somebody's doom." "You might say that," sly Death replied. A smile slid on his face. "Inside is that man Jesus who said he'd save the race." "And you, Time, why you stopping here? Don't you have things to do? I come each day to draw the veil and let the morning through. Say, why you watching just one grave with all your vast domain? Looks like you'd be out rambling round and smiting folks with pain." "Well, this one's something special. He challenged me, they say. Said he'd rest here just 3 days and then he'd walk away. Now, I'm the conqueror, you know. They don't talk down to me. When I steps in to cut them down, it's for all eternity." "I sure can testify to that," responded Father Time. "I ain't seen no one shake off the dust since you've been in your prime." "Well, I got other things to do. I must be on my way. I'll see you when I come back to make another day." So Father Time went up the hill to bid the sun to rise. He left Death standing by the tomb, looking strong and wise. Next day, Time came by again. "How are things?" he said. "Kind of quiet," Death replied. "Jesus is still dead." I can't hardly stand this. "I won't be here when you come by this time tomorrow. I'm anxious to be on my way and spread some grief and sorrow." Now, Father Time was quite surprised when he came back to see Death a-quivering on the ground in frightful agony. His eyes were set, his throat was marked, his clothes in disarray. It was difficult to see. It wasn't difficult to see that Death had had a bad day. "What happened, Death?" asked Father Time. "What makes you look so bad? I've never seen you shake this way or seem so scared and sad." Death pulled himself upon a rock, a-looking sick and humble. Hung his head and wrung his hands as Time could hear him mumble. "Was sitting here before the dawn about to make my stroll when all at once the whole wide world began to reel and roll." Yeah. Yeah. Come on, preacher. That rolling stone jumped off the door and skipped on down the hill. Then everything grew dark and quiet. Seemed like the earth stood still. I saw him standing in the door. He didn't move or speak. Just looked at me, and all at once I felt so tired and weak.
Come on. Yeah. Come on.
He came and got a hold on me and threw me to the ground. He put his foot upon my neck, took my keys and crown. Yeah. Two angels came to talk with him. They glistened like the sun. He said, "The plan's all finished now. Redemption's work is done." As they passed by the garden gate, I heard him say just then, "He's setting free my captives and giving gifts to men." Time and Death met once again off yonder by the gate. "It's good to see you," old Time said. "I've wondered about your fate." And this is what Death said. "I'm just a lowly servant now. There's little time to roam. I just push open this old gate and help the saints get home." My. Sometimes we forget. And it's good to be reminded, like we were in Sunday school this morning. Jackie asked a question about why did they not break Jesus' legs? Why was that a thing? And David said it was prophecy, and it is. And then Matt spoke up and said something about the perfect sacrifice, the perfect lamb in the Old Testament, had to be without spot or blemish. And understand something, when Jesus was on the cross, he was still that perfect lamb. And the Lord just gave me a thought this morning. I shared it with the Sunday school class. There was no time in history that Jesus looked more beautiful to God, Alan, than just before he hung his head and gave up the ghost. And all what we think was the ugliness of the cross, that's when Jesus looked his best to God. Amen. When he was standing in and doing his Father's will. Amen. Thank God for an empty tomb. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not going to preach on that this morning. If you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I tell everybody this, you know, every year when we do the play, it's like God just gives me something fresh every year, every year, every year. And I thought about this year as we were doing the play. Hebrews chapter 11, when you get there, let's stand. Let's read verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had a testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I could go on and on and on in these next few verses and read about faith. We all know about faith, and now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's pray. God, we love you. And Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's come this way. Thank you, God, for being so good to us. Thank you, God, for all you're doing right now. Lord, I pray, God, you would help us, God, as I try to preach this. God, you get me out of the way, God. Touch folks to, Lord, help us right now. And whatever's done, we're going to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I asked my wife this question this week. And if I come to everybody in this building and ask you the same question, each one of us would probably have a different answer. So the question is this. So who do you think showed the greatest faith in the Bible? Who do you think showed the greatest faith in the Bible? Now this is y'all know me, this is an audience participation. That means you got to say amen every once in a while. Amen. Amen. I know some of y'all got up early, but it's all right. I won't preach an hour and a half. If I do, I'll probably die. So let's start off. Was it Noah? I mean, you think about Noah. Noah never saw rain, but he moved on the word of God. Genesis chapter 6, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them from the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark. Thou shalt pitch it within and without. I mean, Noah probably was one of the greatest people to show faith in the Bible. Had never seen rain, never knew anything about that. Out there in what we would think the middle of a desert west, God tells him to build an ark. And he just goes, all right, boys, let's go get some wood. Yeah. That's pretty good faith right there, amen. Yeah. What about Abraham? Was Abraham the one with the greatest faith? Ain't none of y'all ever went to sacrifice your son. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into a land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will testify thee of. Abraham didn't question him. I believe Abraham went and got the wood. I believe Abraham went and got the knife. The Bible says he carried the fire with him up that mountain. He didn't question God. He just stepped out on faith and said, I'm going to do what God says. Says do. Amen. So was Abraham the one with the greatest faith? Y'all know how this goes. Y'all supposed to say no. Because I'm getting to the message now. Y'all get in this with me. Amen. So if it wasn't Noah, it wasn't Abraham. How about Moses? Let's talk about Moses goes to the burning bush in the desert. And I mean, that would have been enough to scare me right there. Then you think about all the plagues of the Bible. We're talking about Moses. Now Moses at the Red Sea. I mean, you at the Red Sea, Pharaoh's coming. And God says, just speak, just lift up the rod. Everything's going to be. How many of us would have said, oh, I don't know about this, God. I don't know about this, God, but Moses lifts up that rod. The Bible says the Red Sea opened up, and God tells him to speak to the rock. That's a lot of faith. I'm just going to be honest with you, Brother Tony. But I don't think Moses, Wes, was the one that had the greatest faith in the Bible. How about little David? This side's catching on. Y'all got to catch up. Let's look at David. I mean, we all know the story of David. I mean, you got a young man not much older than my amen corner right here, amen. You got a young man out there with a rock and a rag, and he's got a few stones in his pocket, and he goes out there to face a giant that looks like a mountain of a man that can kill anything that moves, and he has got enough faith. He charges toward him. He kills the giant. He slays the giant, cuts his head off. That is faith right there. How many of y'all think y'all could do that? But I don't think it was David. Y'all catching on? All right. How about the three Hebrew children? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or as Preacher Jim McComas said, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They faced the fire. You're talking about faith. Be it known unto thee, O king, we will not bow down and serve thy gods. Hey, our God is able to deliver us, but if not, our God is able to deliver us, but if not. See, that's the problem. That's what counsels most of us out. My God is able to deliver me, and if my God don't deliver me, I'm going to backslide and get out of church. My God is able to deliver me, but if he don't do exactly what I think he's supposed to do, I'm going to get mad and I'm not going to go back to church no more. But you understand, sir? But if not, we will not bow down to thee. We will not serve thy gods. If I die in this fire, I'll just die in this fire. That is faith right there. I wish I had that kind of faith. But that's not the one with the greatest faith that I believe. How about Daniel in the lion's den? How many of us could face a lion's den? How many of us has that kind of faith that what I'm talking about? We talking about Daniel. Daniel, he gets told, hey, I don't believe Daniel was sweating when they threw him in there. I just don't believe he was sweating when they throwed him in there. So David, well, all right, let's kind of get a little closer to home here. How about Mary and Joseph? About 16 years old, the angel comes down to Mary and said, listen here, God has chose you. You are going to be the mother of the Messiah. You're going to be the mama of God. She didn't look at him. Scott said, that ain't a problem. I got that. No. So what kind of faith did it take for her to say, be it unto thee? And then you talk about Joseph. Now you got a man that is espoused or engaged to this woman. They're basically already married, and now she comes up pregnant. Oh, yeah. I'd like to have been there when that story got told. Can you imagine Mary coming to Joseph? We need to talk. We need to talk. I got something to tell you. It's going to be hard to believe, but now you got to trust me on this. Yeah, y'all know he didn't trust her. How you know he didn't trust her, preacher? Because that same angel had to come down to him. Oh, yeah. Oh, he heard the story, Brother Robert, but he didn't believe the story. He knew she was a good woman. He knew that she would not lie. But he did not believe. The Bible says he thought about putting her away privily. Understand that. But when the angel came down, he said, okay, I trust you. But I still don't think that was the greatest faith in the Bible. We could go on and on. How about Peter walking on the water? Pretty good faith. But I don't think that was the greatest. I want to look just a little while. I ain't going to be long on who I think had the greatest faith in the Bible. Bible says in Luke chapter 23, verse 38, and the superscription was also written above him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, this is King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I believe that thief hanging on the cross showed probably what I believe to be the greatest act of faith of anybody ever on this earth. How do you mean, preacher? Well, understand it. He had never done one thing for Jesus. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that God heareth not sinners. How many of us prayed before we got saved? Every time I did something stupid, every time I'd pray, God didn't hear me. Right. So if God don't hear sinners, understand something. When you and I come down to an altar, Wes, when you came down to an altar and you got saved, how many times since then has God heard your prayers? How many times since then has God answered your prayers? This man had never done one thing to call out on Jesus. I see David, and I see Tony, and I see Robert, and I see Skip, and I see Tommy, and I see Preacher Thad, and I see Preacher Trevor, and I see Matt. I see people that has been deacons and spoke for God and sang for God and taught Sunday school. Mike teaches Sunday school. And Brother Donald's taught Sunday school. I see people that have worked for God. I see Brother Ralph and Sister Alice and Miss Linda. They've sang for God all throughout the years. And people get up on Sunday morning and come out and cooks, and we give our time and we give our efforts. And yeah, we do things for God. So if we're not careful, we think God's supposed to reward us for doing things for him. He ought to answer our prayers. But answering your prayer ain't got nothing to do with all that.
That's right.
Answering your prayer means you're right with him. This man had done nothing, done not one absolute thing. He never taught Sunday school. He never paid a tithe.
That's right.
Never came to church. He was not dressed right. Amen, preacher. He didn't look like what we think a Christian ought to look like. He had never acted like what we think a Christian ought to act like. He was a thief, a condemned thief. He was guilty. He admitted he was guilty. This man had done nothing amiss, but you and I, we're here because we know why we're here. How many of us know we're guilty? But yet, he never done anything for Jesus, but yet he called out. He had faith even though he was at the end of his life. I've heard of deathbed confessions, and I've heard of people that, Brother Tony, that got saved and called out on Jesus right there at the very end. But I've also heard of people that had lived their life, Brother Donald, and not called out on Jesus and lived their life as an atheist, and they got right to the end, and they said, I know it's real, but I refuse to call out. This man knew this was it. This man knew this was the end. He didn't have another tomorrow. He didn't have another next week. He wasn't going to have a chance next week. He wasn't going to have a chance next year. You're here today. You don't know when your time's going to be. This man knew when his time was going to be. You don't know when God's going to call your number. You don't know when God's going to call your name. You don't know when you'll stand before God. This man did. This man was going to be dead in just a little while. Hey, you know, preacher, because the Bible says that they came out and broke his legs. And they were going to break the legs of Jesus, but they didn't because he was already dead. Don't wait to the end to call out. Preacher Deals told me something one time, and I've never forgot it. He said, I've heard about deathbed confessions, and we all hear about deathbed confessions. He said, there's only two. There's only one in the Bible where somebody got converted on their deathbed, and that was this man. He said, and you better remember there was another man on another cross. There was two thieves. One went to heaven, one went to hell. You don't want to take a 50-50 shot at this. I am 100% sure that I'm going to heaven. Amen? How many this morning can say, I am 100% sure that I'm going to heaven? There ain't a doubt in my mind. Glory to God. That's enough to shout on right there. Amen? But this man, now here's where it kind of gets a little bit different. Who do I want to pick on? I'll pick on David. Where's Jesus right now? At the right hand of the Father. Tony, in your opinion, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, right? What would that look like? Beautiful. A glorious throne. Amen. That what you picture? A glorious throne. I've been to England and France, and I've got to see the throne that the king and queen sat on. And one of them's a very beautiful chair, very illustrious, beautiful throne. And that's what we get our minds, that we see Jesus. When somebody comes down to get saved, understand, they got it in their mind that they come down and they're praying to that one that's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for you and I. That's a comfort to me to know that I'm praying to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And the Bible tells us that you and I can come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. That ain't the Jesus this man prayed to. This man looks over and all he sees is a bloody pulp. He sees a man that his beard had been plucked out and blood's dripping from his face. He sees a man that his hair's been plucked out and blood is dripping. He sees a man with a crown of thorns pressed into his brow and blood is dripping down his. He sees a man that he looks and all over his body, his skin and his meat is just laid open. He sees a man gasping for air. He sees a man trying to push himself up just to get another breath. But yet this man looks over at that man and says, hey, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What greater faith can you have than that? You and I pray to a Jesus that's been resurrected. You and I pray to a Jesus that's already got the glorified body. You and I are praying to a Jesus that's seated at the right hand of the Father. I ain't got enough faith to be on a cross and do this. But yet this man prayed to one that looked just like he did. This man was praying to somebody that was getting ready to die. Y'all hear what I said? We don't know about that. Brother Robert, we prayed to a Jesus that was resurrected. We've already come in and shouted it out. Preacher Thad preached on this morning a little bit. David taught on it in Sunday school. We know where Jesus is at. We know the tomb is empty. This man didn't realize. He didn't understand all that, but yet he was still praying. What faith? Remember, all this happened before the resurrection. All this happened before the ascension. All this happened before Jesus had the glorified body. All this happened while Jesus still looked like he was guilty. But he wasn't. Let me say this, and I mentioned this on Sunday. I've never seen it, and I love the way we do our play. But the Bible never says that Jesus fell under the cross. You can't find that in the Bible. That's what history says. Ronnie, the Bible never says Jesus fell under the cross. But if you go back and read the Bible, it says when Pilate passed the sentence, Pilate never said he was guilty. Herod never said he was guilty. Roman law states that a guilty man has to carry his cross up that hill. So the Bible says that time they come out of the hall, they compel Simon to carry the cross. Jesus was completely innocent. Now think about this. Jesus, we know from studying the Bible that Jesus died before this man did. But what the Bible says that they came out with the clubs and they were going to break their legs, but they didn't break the legs of Jesus because Jesus has already died. These two boys, I still see Trevor and Taylor on the cross, and these two guys are still hanging on that cross. Jesus dies. I don't know. I just kind of got it in my mind. This ain't Bible. This is just my opinion. Alan, I'm just throwing this out. That one on the other side that mocked him and told Jesus, hey, won't you take yourself down off this cross and take us down too? Yeah. I wonder what he said to that other, hey, Your Jesus just died. The one you've been praying to, the one you asked to help come in, hey, he's gone. What do you think now? I don't know. Maybe in my mind, the Bible don't tell us everything. Maybe in my mind, Brother Tony, he might have looked over and says, you just hold on. It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. I believe in somehow this man had to, David, had to have some kind of knowledge of Jesus. The Bible don't tell us whether he was a Roman or Israelite or whatever. The Bible don't tell us that. But he knew something about Jesus. How many of us here this morning know something about Jesus? I mean, we know something about Jesus, but yet we're not living for him. We know it's all true, but we're not living for him. We know everything in the Bible is fact, but we're not living for him. If something were to happen right now, you couldn't go to heaven. You understand that, but yet you know Jesus. You had two people on the cross. One was believing, one didn't. One went to paradise, the other went to hell. With all that going on, he still prayed to Jesus. And the Bible don't say this, but we know, Jackie, that he died. Now, what happened to all the saints, Preacher Thad, in the Old Testament that died looking for the cross? What does the Bible tell us about Lazarus and the rich man? When Lazarus died, he lifted up his eyes and he was in Abraham's bosom. Can you imagine, Brother Robert, as this thief on the cross dies, he wakes up in Abraham's bosom. He said, I've seen him. He's on the way. I've seen him. Oh, the one y'all been looking for. Oh, can you imagine as he goes to Abraham, I've seen him. Can you imagine as he goes to Moses, I've seen him. Can you imagine as he goes to David, I've seen him. He's on the way. I'll tell you right now, I just prayed a little prayer, and look where I'm at right now. Y'all just hold on. The Messiah's coming. That's what a little bit of faith can do for you. He got what he prayed for. How much faith do you have? What are you trusting in? What are you believing in? We got people in this building right now. You're believing in your finances. You're believing in your job. You're believing in your family. But yet you say, I know Jesus. You understand something. There's a heaven and a hell. And we're all going to one of two places. I just want to be like that thief that was on this side. Lord, remember me when thou comest into your kingdom. He didn't have a long, drawn-out prayer. He didn't get up and pray with all the vows and the these and all that kind of stuff. He didn't do all that. Brother Terry, he just said, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. Where are you at today? I mean, we know it all. We know this. Just about everybody in here knows this. You know what the Bible says. You know how the Bible tells us to live. And I don't have a problem believing that Jesus is exactly where David said he was. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for me. Every time I got a need, glory to God, he turns to the Father and says, Preacher Tim's got a need. Brother Tony's got a need. Brother Robert's got a need. God dispatches angels to take care of us. Amen. I don't have a problem believing that. And most of you don't either. But if something were to happen right now, you know good and well you couldn't go to heaven. Why in the world would you leave this building with that thought in your mind? We've got his words. We've seen him answer prayers multiple times. We've seen what God can do. I've seen God take a drunk, turn him into a deacon. I've seen God take drunks and turn them into preachers. I've seen the handiwork of God. The Bible says, for the invisible things of God are clearly seen from creation. We all know there's a God. And we all know there's a heaven. And we all know there's a hell. And we all know we're going to one of two places. Matt, he walked every mile. I want you to bow your head with me.